Yarr, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of Ye Vagabond Dilemma. On today's episode, we stay healthy by eating our vegetables, and we discover that Canadians may not all be what they are made out to be. Well, without further ado, please enjoy the episode.
Ave Maria.
Well, hello. Who's this opera singer? Huh?
I'm trying to get into Italian theater.
Oh, are you?
Il teatro italiano.
Is this your career path post-bachelor?
No, I'm actually a bit, how would you say this, inspired, because recently, yesterday being recently, by accident, I watched a movie that was originally dubbed in Italian.
There you go. As in, like, the original language was Italian?
Yes. So, the thing is, it's a whole story. What I remember from it, oh, there was this trailer I saw a long time ago about Netflix special. I saw it, The trailer was in English, and it's a murder mystery about, I think it's somebody dies in the house and seven women that happen to be at the house at the same time are trying to discover who was the murderer, something like that, right? That's how it's called, Seven Women in the House, or something like that.
What an inspired title.
Yeah. What it turned out to be, first of all, couple of months ago, it was a trailer for a Christmas-themed movie, so it's a Christmas movie. It's a family watch together, right? And it's Italian. It was Netflix special, so I saw the trailer in English, but in original language was Italian. To my surprise, what great, joyous surprise it was. I was not shooting blanks. I was of course, watching with English subtitles. But once in a while, not even just your basic sentences, normal sentences they speak, not at the moment, but I think back to it, and I'm like, yes, I understood what they said. This makes sense. I know these words. I know the grammar. And I was so happy with it. And it was a great movie, too. I must say, the drama the Italians bring to movies is just something else. At some point in the movie, a lady just bashes her mom's head with a glass bottle just to shut her up.
It was right, that's normal.
No, yeah, because the grandma was always talking about alcohol and the mother was like, shut the hell up and just... And then they later on, they pushed her into, a different room, and then later on they wake her up and she doesn't remember anything and they keep talking like everything's normal. It was like a family comedy. It was given in a very, light manner, but it's hella funny. It's not that you're gonna watch this movie, so can I spoil this for you?
Go ahead.
And for people, okay, let's give a signal. First of all, remember, Seven Women in the House or something, that's something to do with that. Netflix, it's recently came out-ish movie. So spoilers for that. When I give you the signal, that's when you can listen back. How would you know if you're listening anyways? Okay, spoilers in the next 10 seconds.
Hello, everybody. Your lovely editor here. I figured I would quickly re-record this bit in case anybody actually does want to avoid spoilers, since what Rudy said before is frankly just not quite true. So just skip forward for exactly 50 seconds after I say so. All right, ready? Go!
What happens is, so alleged murder is the father who gets murdered, right? And there's the whole family in the house and it's all women left, right? And there's some lovers that find themselves in the house and whatnot.
10 seconds is over.
What turns out, next 10 seconds go on, keep walking. And what happens in reality is the youngest daughter, because the dad got tired of the drama and he was like, let's see, if I die, what would they do? What would they talk about? The whole twist is, of course, he didn't die. And then they, as Italian women do, they just wanted to confront him. He was like, you bitch, I'm gonna kill you myself. They open the door. He's not in the room. They go to the balcony. And it turns out the father tried to, I guess, leave the house by jumping off the balcony. He slipped and actually died. It's so funny.
Okay, that's kind of slapstick, I guess. Well, I mean, it is good to, when you're learning a language, to look into the media, or, that language media, and, reading stuff like that, you know?
But it was, as I said, I didn't know that this was going to be the case, so I was happily surprised.
Well, there you go. And now next time it can be on purpose.
Truly, truly, right? Truly. Anything new in your life, Henry?
Oh, shit, I truly was not prepared for this time. Not really, Rudy. Do you have something to talk about? I'm trying to think.
Well, we are eating healthily and being the goodest boys you could ever wish for sons.
Cheers to that, huh, buddy?
We can censor whatever we just said, actually. Okay, sample this. We are eating healthily and being the goodest boys you could ever wish for sons.
All right, so true. All right, this will be what will be censored. Yeah, okay. All right, then let's not elaborate on what we were saying before.
Of course, no, of course.
Just know we're being good. That's all you had to know.
That's what every mother wishes their son to be, right?
Right. Good
boys. I was thinking about the other day. Aren't all sons mommy boys?
No. What does that even
mean? That means that, like, you know, there's this whole shebang that apparently, it's like the way moms love their daughters and the way they love their sons is a bit different. Not that any one is like any of those loves are stronger than the other, but it's a different expression, right? I saw the stand-up comedian the other day. I was watching via YouTube, and the great bit was like, you know, son comes home from school. He's like, "I'm gonna make you dinner. You know, don't worry about the bag. Just let it here. I'm gonna get it to your room." Daughter comes back from school. "You look fat in that outfit." Is that?
I don't know. I mean, that's not how I really remember my experience with my mom. I don't
Neither
know.
Neither do I. My mom prefers my sister. This is, yeah, mom, I said that. My sister gets all the good treatment, and it's all in the family. Like, every time
it,
that
Rudy.
Little goblin was near me and something happened to her, it was my fault.
Speak your truth, King. Speak or forever be silenced.
Hell yeah.
This is your moment.
I think I'm gonna get an earful about this already. So let's go into the episode, because it is a rather long one, at least for my prep.
I just want to sincerely apologize for whatever Rudy said, because he's being such a healthy boy.
What the fuck? I'm not even halfway through my broccoli.
That's what happens when you eat vegetables.
Oh, yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah. That's censor this. Halfway through my broccoli.
All right. Well, let's get into it then. I'm curious what you got for us today.
Right.
Oh, should we introduce the show real quick first?
Oh, go ahead, King.
We forgot that. So this is the Vagabond Dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
Hey! We pick an explorer, typically, huh? Not always. We pick an explorer, we talk about their backstory, and we come up with alternative ways that they disappeared. Oh my god, wait, I just realized I forgot to do the resolution of last episode.
Oh no, whatever.
Alright, wait. Should I do it now, or is that stupid?
Okay,
this is
do it. Part 2 of episode 25.
Yes, so Francisque, what happened is, so he got blown away, was never seen again, but later it came out that he, landed in Africa, so well done, Rudy. Your theory is correct. But he got captured, and then he worked as a slave for multiple years until he eventually escaped, but there were not much details on it. It just said he escaped.
So what you're saying is this was the actual resolution we got for the first time in forever, and we didn't even get it in the right episode?
Well,
there you go. Anyways,
if you're unsatisfied with last week's ending, then here
exactly.
It is now.
Also, as much as we love Francisque's story, this is not his episode, so Francisque, get the fuck out. Today we are talking about a lad named Joshua Slocum.
Jesus Christ.
What a name, huh?
Can you repeat that? Joshua Slocum?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
The name or the surname, or both?
The surname, because I know how you spell John.
Slocum. So it's Slocum. Yeah. One particular listener of our podcast will love this. Yeah.
Let's move on. Yeah.
And also, I'm going to preface this my story goes with a little bit of a break, because I also made a specific segment for our boy Henry today to enjoy, because he's been so...
Yay!
He's been so generous with his Rudy's Rocks segment that I must... I had to do something for him, right? But that's later on.
Yay.
I'm just putting it out that it's going to be a segment for you, boy.
I'm excited.
Right. Background part 1, semicolon. Let's start reading. Slocum grew up in ordinary middle-class family in Nova Scotia, Canada. So he's a Canadian boy, okay. Eh? Or whatever, how they speak.
There you go.
Whatever. Born February 20th in 1844. So he's, well, I wouldn't say recent, but semi-recent, because we had some very old explorers, you know?
Epic censorship moment.
And yeah, I'm just going to keep going on.
Yeah, funny. Hey, good one. Hey, nice. I thought you said you were going to drop it.
Epic censorship moment.
I mean, what? It's not a coincidence that ever since I became an editor, we censor something every fucking episode. What happened to us?
From early days, he longed to have a more unconventional lifestyle on the high seas. So as the classic rambunctious Canadian teenage boy trope goes, he ran away from home to get jobs as a cabin boy, cook, and a seaman. Not a really, like, of course there's a heavy sarcasm here. Canadians are conventionally known to be super, you know, polite and goody-two-shoes and whatnot. Yeah, this boy apparently not. Like, not shitting on him, because throughout the story I learned to respect the boy. He had a dream, let's put it that way, and he couldn't wait to even be 15.
So can I interrupt real quick? So Slocum became a seaman?
Yes, I was aware of this joke, and I thought, will you actually think of this? You made me, I guess, proud and concerned at the same time.
I mean, you know, when it's there, you have to go for it, even if it's like a shit joke.
Here's another joke. He never got formal education, but somehow he had managed to pick up enough of reading, writing, and mathematics to get by. At 18, he already had earned the qualification as a second mate, and only 7 years later, at the age of 25, he captained his first ship. So, Henry, we still have 4 years, but, you know, in 4 years' time, our ship to Fiji, sailing. Sheesh.
God, we're so stupid.
This is the best of us. Anyways, while being the Il Capitano of several ships, he engaged in various trading ventures. Friends of the time described him as level-headed, a great problem solver, and a hard worker. This is how you know he died. Because when people...
Yeah, because otherwise he would be a like little rat bastard.
He later married and started a family to accompany him on his sailing adventures. Unfortunately, his wife Virginia had a somewhat early departure to greener pastures, which marked the start of very hard times for the family.
Greener pastures meaning she died?
Oh, she died. Okay. She died rather prematurely.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, you know, getting good. The times were so bad, in fact, that he married his cousin, Henrietta. And to add on top of that, they had hella financial troubles. I guess he married Henrietta not only because, you know, as far as I considered, like, got from all the source and stories, there wasn't much love involved. Because first of all, it's your cousin. Second of all, right. Back in the day, because, you know, you had to... If you wanted a family and you want your roots to survive, definitely, because that was a big, you know, people tried to do that a lot. It was kind of having a family and wife, children, where society pushed that on you. So you had to have like at least like 7 children, and I think in his case, he had 7 children, 4 of which came to adulthood, if I remember correctly. But yeah, if your wife dies, so you lose one source of income, you kind of have to marry, otherwise what are you going to do with, you know, at the time, whatever, 5, 6 children? Right. But yeah, so he marries cousin, hella financial troubles, and on top of that, in 1887, they shipwrecked in Brazil. Slocum built a new boat from scratch, which is pretty badass, to sail back to US, and to his credit succeeded, but the family was left broke and unhappy due to that.
What do you mean?
Okay, so the story goes that the original wife, Virginia, she... enjoyed sailing together, like they lived on the boats, right? They lived on the ships. She enjoyed that kind of lifestyle, but she unfortunately dies. Henrietta, however, after all the experiences, because on their first trip together, I think they got jumped by pirates or something. There was a hurricane, and then on top of that, they shipwrecked and did this. She was done with the seafaring. She was like, King, not for me, lad. And right. on you know, you add that on not really being in love, you kind of, you can understand that there's tension, you know? And on this cliffhanger, though, there's a segment that I called Boat Naming.
Yay!
So let me preface what we're going to do today. You know, Henry...
Henry's horses.
What the fuck? No. Anyways.
Okay.
So, Henry, fine. Any great seafaring individual takes partial pride in the vessel under their command, right? And a big mm-hmm. part of that pride is heavily dependent on the ship's name, which must be chosen with great care as it becomes a huge part of its personality. Take, for example, our boy Joshua, who commandeered such ships as Pato, which is duck in Spanish, the 90-ton schooner given as a partial payment for helping construct another ship, or the ship that he built from scratch, named Liberdade, the Portuguese word for freedom, in honor of the day it was launched, which is May 13th, 1888, the very day slavery was abolished in Brazil. So, I devised the game for you. I will tell you a name of a ship, and you have to tell me what would you think that ship's story would be. In like a couple of sentences.
Okay.
Keep in mind that I'm going to give you four names, so the story shouldn't be too long.
Okay.
All these stories, some of them are, I came up on my own. Some of them are via generator that I later, you know, edited to be more funnier, I guess, or more. Anyways, first name of a ship, Martin Wager.
Martin Wager? Yep. It sounds like the captain of a ship had a bet with somebody named Martin. And in the end, the prize for like winning the bet, aka the wager, was the ship itself. And because he wanted to rub it in for Martin, he just called it Martin Wager. So every time he would sail past Martin, he would feel bad about himself.
Okay, that's... Honestly, I probably would have gone somewhat the same trope on that. Okay. Name number two, the Pantaloon Duchess.
Pantaloon Duchess? Yeah. Maybe in that year, you know, trading pants from one person to another was really big. And the queen of that industry needed a big boat, you know, to really get the trade going, you know. If you want to trade your pants with somebody in Spain, you need a ship for transport.
Yeah,
that's all
yeah,
I'm
that's
saying.
That's true, that's true.
And so she named her ship the Pantaloon Duchess as, like, the royal transporting vessel.
I would have gone with, it's a pleasure ship. It's some kind of pleasure ship.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm not going to even go around it. The Pantaloon Duchess, I mean... Let's see how you get off my pantaloons, you know what I mean? Maybe
Sheesh.
It's the type of ship where you leave the pantaloons at the bay.
You're not allowed to come on board as long as you have
pants
on.
Oh, you're allowed
on.
To come on board if you know what I mean, but without pants on.
Sheesh. Okay, sir.
Name numero tres, Fort York.
Fort York?
Yes.
Fort York. Maybe it's a ship that was meant to go between New York and England, but they got the destination wrong. God damn it.
Oh no.
And now it's Fort York and England.
I kind of imagine the Sea of Thieves scenario where you ram your ship into a fort. So that hence the name Fort York.
There you go.
And here...
We do a little hands-on destruction.
And now, number four. It could be a basic story, but I challenge you to be competitive or original with it, Henry the Great. The ship's name will be Royal Example.
Royal Example? Maybe... Something, well, I hope this is what your idea of a competitive answer is. But, you know, the king, he was unhappy one day, right? Because all his explorers, they were just doing fuck all, right? And the king decided, hey, you, by, let's call you Martin, hey, for a little callback in it. I'm unhappy with what you're doing, so we're going to just send you out to sea, and you're not to come back until you got some concrete evidence that you found China. Yeah. And we're going to name the ship Royal Example to show you what happens when you suck as an explorer. Go on, then.
Based. Very vagabond dilemma podcasty answer. I am proud of you. I will not even add to that. That's perfect. Great job, King. And with this, we end the segment about naming.
That was a good. Thank you, Rudy. I like having intermittent segments.
Yeah, of course. Now shut up. Background part number 2, semicolon.
I'm sad.
I'm sorry?
I'm sad now because you're so mean to me always.
When?
Just now and just in general.
When, like, did they ask?
Yeah, my bad. Go on.
It's okay, we can talk about our feelings later on, but nowadays, in this society, nobody cares about it on a podcast. You know how it is.
Hey, who needs feelings when you got a beer?
Cheers,
huh?
To that! Broccoli!
Yeah.
Cheers to our broccoli.
All right.
In 1892, he began a great passion project, Joshua here, when he acquired a rotting boat, which is, well, it's a rotting boat, right? But at a great cost of time and money, he restored it and named it Spray. It was 11.27 meters long and 4.26 meters wide, made of oak and yellow pine. And boy, what a life they had together. As over the next 3 years, the Spray took him over 74,000 kilometer journey around the world. Throughout these years, he braved hurricanes, disease, and even pirates. And the most known part of this journey is that this solo circumnavigation, he was soloing, right, was the first of its kind. Nobody had ever attempted anything like this, in a sense of, like, people, of course, at that point have circumnavigated the world, but nobody had, you know, do it just by themselves. And
so he really... Sorry to interrupt. He really just said, fuck it, I'm going out alone if you don't want to join with me.
This is how much he loved the sea and life on it.
Alright.
Unfortunately, the Spanish-American conflict was also happening at the time, thus media paid scarce attention to this. So he didn't get really the... not at least right away he got the recognition he deserved.
Okay.
And now we start to get already towards the... Well... A different segment that we all have grown to love and expect. So later on, Slocum's grandeur sank in, as it turned out, that he had done all this with crude navigational instruments and only in-depth knowledge of current and wave behaviors. Which is, for that time, he's basically like, he's a god on the sea. He knows the currents, he understands how to, you know, surf the waves or whatever, and he's using not the most modern equipment. So all of this made the outcome of this story seem very strange till even this day. In November 1909, he set off in his boat from Massachusetts for the Caribbean and South America. He was supposedly last seen resupplying in Miami. Afterward, he vanished without a trace. So it's a route that should be pretty doable for a man of his, you know, skills. But he vanishes. Last seen in Miami, going towards South America. Take it away, King.
Well, the most notable part of this is that he was, like, a pretty expert craftsman, right?
Yep.
Seemingly?
Yep.
So, what if... When did he get the media attention, you said? When did he, like, get recognized? Was that after his death already, or before still?
No, that was still, I think, when he was alive. I won't be able to tell you the exact years, but when he was alive.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing, right? He got a lot of attention for that, then, in the end. It was just, oh, leave me alone, fuckers. So what did he do? As the expert craftsman that he is, he goes out to sea, like resupplies in Miami, going towards South America and the Caribbean, you said, right?
Yeah.
So here's what he does, right? In the middle of the night, he whips out from the bottom of his ship a bunch of wooden planks. And essentially what he does is he reconstructs his entire ship while on the sea in the night to be unrecognizable from before, right? Including a new name and such. And essentially, he's just a different boat come sunrise. And they're
the first
can't
of its kind.
Him. There you go. Transformer, indeed. Except it just takes a while.
Autobots roll
labor.
Out. It's not Autobots, it's Autoboats.
Wow. The Transformers franchise has something to explain to us, it seems.
Did they give credit to Slocum for this, huh?
With his newfound anonymity, he just sailed off into the distance. Because, I mean, let's face it, he hated his kids anyway, it seems. So, cheers.
Cheers to that without broccolis.
Well, Rudy,
I mean,
do you got something?
As a vagabond myself, not particularly the sea kind, but I know exactly what happened. Because I get the idea of having a dream of journeying specific waters, right? Talking not specifically waters as waters, but any waters, you know. I get that the dream, because what makes you is your dream, right? I personally have thalassophobia, so I would never do this. But I would like to travel a lot and, you know, walk across mountains and whatnot like they do in the Hobbit movies. I would love to do that. On my own or with some other people who I would really enjoy the company with. And, I mean, this might be me talking skeptically, you know, me being Gen Z and gay and whatnot. Yeah, you have the family, but what about it? Listen, what about it? You have a dream. You have your own life to live, right?
Yeah,
you probably
sure.
Did 4 out of 7 kids actually live to adulthood. That's a positive win rate, right? That's over 50%. That's already a succession. So,
yeah.
At that point, you know that your nowadays wife, actually cousin, is not really happy with you. So you're like, I'm going to set you free. So as he is such an expert, he decides, you know, I circumnavigated the world. 3 years. At this point, I am such a goat, which stands for greatest of all time, I can live on the sea and never make it to shore. I can just live in sea water all day long for the rest of my days. I know the sea perfectly, and I know where not to go to see these fuckers on land, right? And he becomes this legend of like a man living purely on the ocean. Purely waves and vibes. You know? It's
right.
Symposium of the greatest order. You sit there, right? Watermelon sugar, hi. Watermelon sugar, hi. He's probably, you know, he has developed the scavenger hunter type of thing on the ocean. He gets what people throw out. He gets the, you know, the occasional turtle. He has a whole farm, whole nets. It's like that video game Raft where you have to, you know, scavenge all the items from what's floating around.
Yeah.
And your boy just makes a whole living out of it. And then he keeps expanding the boat from all the flotsam that he gets, and he makes it to like a big, big ship. At some point, there's a whole house floating around. And, you know, that's the legend of the floating city. That's how it started. A city that, because he doesn't want the earth, the normal scum, right? The your average land rubbers on it. So there he is, the lonely king, Joshua Slocum, in his own castle, built of wood, drifting till this day across the oceans, just living the life. Because on the sea, you live forever. On the sea, you live forever, by the way. Because it's the salt.
Right.
It embalms you.
Right. Because I was about to say, I could also theoretically go out to sea and live the rest of my days on sea. It just wouldn't be that long.
No. He has developed at this point, the way he has evolved, he can drink seawater without filtering it and get water out of it.
That's a challenge and a half. But secondly, you said he built it by himself, right? He built it by himself and he lives there alone?
Unless he found some kind of merman or mermaid, whatever.
But he basically lives in a city that's floating on the sea by himself, yes. Right? Where'd he get all those supplies?
Flotsam.
Imagine he just has a fucking a boat, or what's it called? A tree farm on his boat.
I know. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you in the story that he survived many distracts, and then at some point even pirates.
Right.
What if at some point he's like, well, remember I told you he's sailing towards the Caribbean?
Right.
Well, what's in the Caribbean that everybody knows about? That's the pirates!
Islands. Oh.
Fuck you, cringe. Yeah. Anyways, the pirates, Henry. He becomes a pirate and lives the rest of his days looting,
killing,
raping, killing, plundering, and living to his God's greatest desire.
Yeah, what a stand-up guy, huh?
I mean, he already was good enough on Earth. That's how they're gonna remember it, right? They probably changed his name. Blackbeard was actually him.
Right. I mean, it is a good idea to have an alternate identity when you're out there being a criminal, for lack of a better term.
And then at some point, he still builds all these boats. He still goes on these enormous journeys. Brother, he must have gotten the money somehow. He was actually the mafia, but on the sea.
Yeah, I was about to say, the wood mafia.
Here's what gave it away. No Canadian is rambunctious or rebellious. This boy, before even 18, runs away from home. Listen, buddy, the trope was set before you.
And he can't break out of the mold. So he has to have it's a prophecy. He was part of the wood mafia, that's why he was able to rebuild his ship so many times.
Well, with somebody with the name Cum in his name, I guess wood mafia would, be pretty good.
Yeah. Who do you think is cutting down the rainforest every year in Brazil, Rudy? It's not the Brazilian government, I'll tell you that, man. It's the specter.
The specter.
That takes all... Well,
I know why he went out into the sea. Because what happens at sea, mostly at the time, it was seamen. It was boys. Because it was very sexist back in the day, right?
Oh, here we go again.
Exactly. He already had children, he already had a wife, but he was always drawn to the sea, to the sea, to the sea. He honestly wants to get away from the stereotypes, right? He already did this part in the society. His bloodline will live on. The cousin is like, you know what? It's only the gays who can be like, you know what, I'm going to do this, but I literally couldn't give a less fuck about it. I will do this for the society, and I will have the zero respect attitude for it. And after a while, I'm going to be fed up with you. I will go out into the sea. Wood Mafia, my name's already, you know, it's all set out. He went to the Caribbean, and well, he got a bit rowdy, I guess. And the actual story that nobody wants to tell you, he died of syphilis.
Right. Just your average.
That's your average wood mafia getting the wrong wood in the wrong places.
Hell yeah, brother! You gotta make sure that wood is not contaminated or it will rot.
Here's a story. That's
yes, sir.
True. You know Blackbeard, the infamous pirate.
Yay.
Do you know how he actually died?
No.
He died because
keep it for a Vagabond Dilemma episode. Am I right? Hey.
Allegedly, he died from STD.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised that anybody would die from hygiene issues back then, right? Yeah.
And the thing is, he tried to, back in the day, you know, what was one of the forms to try and save your, let's say, genital areas from that? Because if you get the infection, you inject straight up mercury in it.
That seems
because mercury is toxic and was believed to kill anything around it. So, you know, they just thought, you know, STD, it's just in that area. So let's inject mercury in there. And, you know, that area is going to die, but, you know, you're going to live. And what a mistake that was.
And kill things it did.
But that was a practice back then, apparently.
Well, I mean, hell, I guess if you don't know better, just inject people with mercury. I think that's the lesson of today.
Oh my god.
If you're ever stuck in a problem and you're like, I don't know what to do, just whip out your pocket mercury and start injecting it to everything
you
see.
This is what the government doesn't want to tell you. If you read the whole manuscript of like your local government or whatever, it always says you have rights for a mercury pill.
Yeah, but they don't tell you.
They don't tell you.
Because then otherwise we'd all be gone.
Because mercury is expensive. They don't want us to pay for it. So you like, but you roll up to them. You go to your local municipality right now, as we speak, and present this message, right? And now let's wait 5 seconds. They're walking, blah blah blah. Listen, bozo. Where's my daily mercury? And there's nothing they can do about this. They have to.
Then they hit you with, I don't speak English, fucker. So.
In perfect English, they say this to you.
The one sentence they know is, I don't speak English, fucker.
Any theories on Joshua, though?
I'm thinking here, huh? Canadian? Maybe he tried to mislead people, right? He's hey, I'm going to the Caribbean. I'm Canadian. That's normal.
And he actually went to Norway.
Well, close. He went to the Northwest Passage. Hell yeah, brother. You know, that was the last challenge. You know, he's done the circumnavigation by himself. Hey, how about you now do the Northwest Passage by yourself, huh? But it turns out the stuff you get in Miami, which is pretty warm, pretty tropical, it's not that great against ice. No, it doesn't work.
He's rolling up to Antarctica in bikini.
Yeah, exactly. He's up there. It's like, well, shit. I only packed summer clothes. What am I to do now? And he just freezes to death.
Oh no! What if? Here's a big if.
Massive if.
But could have happened.
But what if?
Caribbean is one of those, you know, island regions.
Yes.
And there probably are volcanic eruptions once in a while there. Right? And what
yes.
if, you know, back in the day, still some tribes, they do their sacrifices, their daily sacrifices and whatnot. Also, for the listeners at home, Henry's looking through camera at me in a very discerning manner. I can't concentrate on what I speak when I see that. But so imagine one of the tribes living in the Caribbean. They're pretty advanced. They're like, okay, I know what the outside world thinks of us, that we sacrifice children or whatnot. We're not savages. We're not savages, people. We stopped doing that like 5 years ago. Which is at that point, what, 20th century anyways, the start of it.
Right.
But they're modern. So they throw rocks in the ocean. And once you get enough rocks, when the pressure can't really go out anywhere, well, it explodes, right? So what happens, this boy is sailing right past one of those oceans, and just like, you know, a game we used to play, Henry, a fucking rock just goes right through the boat. And Joshua, well, he could have all the skills in the world, but he's only one man, because he's a solo artist. There's only so much you can do, so many planks you can place in a matter of 5 seconds till the ship sinks. And well, he sinks, yeah. And then the tribesmen, when they get asked about this, because the local police of Miami roll up to the graves, like, so have you seen any ship he was supposed to stop by at this point, or like, you know, he should have been seen, blah blah. No, saw nothing. Y'all hearing something? I think the last time we saw a ship here was like 5 years ago or something. It was also like teenager tribesmen, you know, so this is the typical story of, I don't want to tell my parents about this, they're going to fucking skin me alive.
Right, as you do.
Because in a tribal territory, that could be the case, you can get skinned alive.
I guess, that's just the average punishment if you do the slightest thing wrong.
Happens to the best of us. Bop, 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 bop. Wow!
Right. Well, Rudy.
Yes, Henry.
Do you want to tell us the resolution?
yes, and you're gonna, one of these resolutions is gonna, you're gonna laugh your ass off, so I'm gonna give you half a minute for that, because it's gonna be a good joke. Remember everything I told you about Joshua, right, till this point? So there's some theories till this day about him, because he's quite a famous dude. So some theorize that he left his family deliberately, which is just, okay, so whilst he loved his children, because it's
clearly
noted that he did love his children, he was supposedly very unhappy with his marriage to Henrietta, which understandably had also taken a strong unliking towards seafaring after everything she experienced. So that's one theory that, so that basically the theory is that he left on purpose and just got a new identity and lived the rest of his life somewhere else.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because at the point he left, the children were already, like, you know, well on their own. So it's not like he needed to look after them.
Right.
Another possibility is drowning. And here's the kicker. Because, you know, oh yeah, big thing to say that you drowned in the ocean. No, here's the kicker. In all those years of him being on the sea, of him doing all those 74,000 kilometers, he never learned how to swim. Which is kind of, I found, a hilarious thing. How can you?
Yeah.
First of all, it's fascinating because you dream about living on the sea, but you never learn how to swim.
Seems like a bit of a mistake, if you think about it, huh?
Yeah, I guess it's, I guess it was in his not-so-useful skills section somehow, but...
Right.
What the fuck?
I thought you were going to say, like, he was on the boat and he tripped and, like, hit his head. So he was knocked unconscious and he fell, like, with his face in, like, a small bowl of water.
He drowned whilst being on the boat.
Yeah.
No, but learning, not learning how to swim is close second to that, anyways.
I feel like, why, I don't know. I mean, I wonder how many people knew how to swim back then. It just seems like something you would want to, as a captain, yeah, would want to know. But
it's also one of those things
matter.
You have to, like, he was probably, like, imagine how brave he was. Because he knows he doesn't know how to swim, but he goes out in the open ocean with, like, those big waves anyways.
I don't know if that's brave or just plain stupid.
Oh, so you're one of those people, right? It's the classical movie title. Like, the classic line is like, I don't know if you were brave or just an idiot.
It's true. Joshua made a pretty ill-conceived call, I will say.
There's a third most popular theory, which actually is, I mean, I was not going to mention it because that would have given it away. But you, as a geography fan, actually it makes sense that you don't like these tropes usually. But here's something we never mentioned. Third most popular theory suggests a Bermuda Triangle, with its unexpected storms to be the main cause of disappearance.
Yeah. Hey. That, I mean, Bermuda Triangle, L theory is all I have to say about that.
No, I mean, it is known that there are unexpected storms in Bermuda Triangle, but they're all explained by geographical... What was it?
Yeah.
Things and whatnot. You know, winds in that area, whatever.
Yeah.
It's nothing paranormal about it.
Right. There's no, I just want to put this out there for everybody. There's nothing paranormal anywhere. So get that through your noggins, people.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but...
Well, unless you're talking about my favorite game, Phasmophobia.
All right, this is a paid podcast now.
That's right.
But...
Give me the money.
Whatever the case, the outcome till this day is the same. Joshua Slocum, the goat capper of the seas, was never found, and nor was his ship the Spray.
Well, there you go.
What a lad, though. What a lad.
What a lad.
Traveling
a lad.
Solo across the whole world, loving to do it, and then just disappearing also on the sea. You know, maybe it was his perfect way to go. Maybe he had enough, and he was like, yeah, this is how I'm gonna go. I mean, you know what? It could have been the case. Because he was, I mean, he wasn't old, but he was, you know, in years already when he did this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good ending for him, I will say. Right?
Yes. Yes. You know what? We should have an explorer who was a seaman but died in the sky of a plane or something like that.
That's going to be a really tough find, but if you can do that, bud, then looking forward to that episode.
And also, can somebody applaud me, Henry? It will be you, because you're the only one in chat. In a row of what, like now 3 to 4 episodes, this was the first one that I was a conventional, good old vagabond. There was no hook here. I just found a person and I went for it, and I'm proud of it.
That's good. I mean, just do what you want, right? It's our podcast, after all.
Unfortunately, he's still white.
Hey. L. Well. Rudy, shall we close out the episode then?
You're more than welcome to do so.
Okay, well, dear listeners, thank you for listening to yet another YAR episode of the Vagabond YAR Lemma. If you want to contact us, please send us a message at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So just the name of the show at gmail.com. And if you want a bit more personal deliverance, Rudy.
I'm going to be as Henry once impersonated an Italian pirate is. You go to 000 RUDIS 000 YARE on Instagram. This till this day is one of my favorite jokes of yours. Say YAR in Italian. YARE!
Alright, well, thank you for listening, everybody. Bye!
Ciao!